Welcome to another episode of Hear Me Out with Nanaya and Aduma. I think I did pretty good. This is the second try, guys.
I really wish you guys had heard the first intro.
But this is the second one. The first one I was really struggling.
Well done.
Thank you very much. In this episode, we're going to talk about a topic that I personally don't really understand, but Aduma seems to understand it, so she'll teach us and talk us through it.
That's not what's happening. It's just you and me having a discussion. I'm not an expert. You're making
no, you're not an expert, but between the two of us, I think you understand it better than I do.
We both equally agree to talk about it. Yeah, no, I'm guessing you have something to say as well. Don't.
Guys, we're talking about imposter syndrome, right?
Yes.
So we just get right into it, so we don't talk too much. Like, we usually do.
Okay. No, you know what?
What?
Okay, let's get right into it.
Alright, let's get right into it. So, imposter syndrome. Aduma, what is imposter syndrome?
No, before then, how many minutes are we recording for today?
Let's not, please. Let's not.
I think we are women of integrity and discipline, and for once, we should actually deliver.
Children of God, we always tell you we keep it short and sweet, but we never keep it short and sweet.
So God should deliver us from, break this yoke upon us.
So I'm not about to give us the time. Let's not.
You don't believe in us.
I feel like maybe we can do tops 30 minutes. No, I feel
she
like
we said can tops, meaning maximum 30 minutes.
Maximum 30 minutes.
Do you guys think we can do it?
I mean, if we get right into it, we can do it. Imposter syndrome. Aduma, what is imposter syndrome?
I would like to know what you think about it, given that you have made it abundantly clear how little you know the issue.
I mean, when I hear imposter syndrome, the first word, imposter, is like somebody who's pretending to be something they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am assuming that it is somebody who feels like they are pretending to be somebody they are not, because maybe they feel like they lack a certain skill or ability.
Have you ever read on it? Is this like street knowledge, or you've actually had a conversation about it, read on it or something?
I haven't had a conversation about it with anybody before.
Have you read about it?
I've read the definition before, but I haven't like extensively done like, you know, research on it or whatever. But just the first word is a giveaway for me, imposter. At least, even if I don't speak English, I know that imposter is somebody who's pretending, so Charlie, give me a little credit. I've done well.
Yeah.
I've done well.
Proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Please let's know. I don't know why Nanaya is trying to firmly place the ball in my court. Like, I'm...
Because I believe in you.
An authority on it. But, yeah, it's pretty much what I know to be. I don't think I mean, prior to last year, I struggled seriously with what, first of all, let me just say that it's a label, like every other label, which this world is fond of. We are so quick to label. So it's just one of those things. And it's also, I'm not going to skirt around the issue, but also it's some people's reality. So as much as possible, I'm not going to trivialize this. I'm only going to speak.
Is it something you diagnose?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you diagnose, exactly. So, but I'm just saying, I just want to make it clear from the very beginning that we're both speaking based on our knowledge and as led by the Holy Spirit from God's perspective, which is what this podcast is about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not expansive. We don't know everything about it. And there's probably a lot God has to say on it, but we're just giving, based on this 30-minute conversation, it's just a, you know. So I felt the need to put that disclaimer out there. So yeah, like I was saying, I've experienced what is described as, I experienced a lot of it last year. But prior to that, I don't think it's ever really a label that I've used or subscribed to. I didn't know too much about it, all of that. So like you're saying, I also read the definition on Google. And by the definition, it's the psychological feeling of fear of being found out because you don't think you're good enough. Summary.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So a practical example is a job role that you've been hired for, and every day or every time that you're doing the role, you're panicky because you don't think you qualify for the role, and so you're afraid that you'll be found out.
Right.
And it's not really, it's not just for jobs, it's just anything really. It's just really being in a position where you think that you are not who qualified. They think you are.
Mm.
And that one day soon they will find out that you're a fraud. It could be with anything at all. It could be in the relationship that you're in, being a mother, anything. You're just feeling like, I'm not who everybody thinks I am. So yeah, like I said, I think the reason why Nanaya is doing the most about it is because, like I told her, that I've had a personal experience. Last year around, it's actually almost a year. So around October, November last year, I started it. I finished school finally, thank God. It was the last year. Ah, I'm confused.
Don't worry.
No, 2 years ago. It's been two.
Yeah, I'm growing old, don't worry.
Yes. 2 years ago. So I'm confused. But this, we're in 2023.
Yeah.
So 2021 was when it started. So it was 2021, majority of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So I was in a job role, and that was my major interaction with what is described as imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Because I really, really wanted to land that role for some reason. I'd heard great things about, like, the place. It was my first, I mean, I'd done internships and stuff, but it was my first real gig, because I was supposed to do it for a year. So even though it wasn't like a full-time job, it was kind of like my first interaction with the world as a lawyer, like a real lawyer, not like a law student. And I really wanted to work at this place. And you had to do an exam to get in. And after the exam, I kind of knew that I wasn't going to get in. Because, again, I'd heard, like, great things about it. And the exam, like, I didn't even think that I'd be invited to enter. I applied, and I, like, had told my close friend at the time, I prayed about it, but, like, frankly, it would be a dream to get in at the time. Yeah. And then I got an invitation to, because they weren't looking for pupils at the time. I went and dropped my stuff that, oh, guys, I'm interested, da 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 blah, blah. And they actually reached out to me. So I was excited, but then I found out that you have to do some kind of exam thing, and it was like 2 or 3 days later. So me already wasn't too prepared. And one thing is, I don't have a very high opinion of myself. It's something that I used to struggle with, kind of still do, but I'm working on it. So I really don't think, like, I used to be academically good back in school, but I'm not my biggest fan. So I don't think that, like, I'm the smartest. I don't see why anybody would pick me first for anything, really, be it anything, not just jobs. Uh-huh, so that's the back, that's the foundation. And then, so anyway, we do the interview. I write the exam, and by the end of the exam, I know that, yeah, I'm not getting picked. And then I actually get picked. So combining that with my background of already thinking that I'm not good enough for anything, and then me seeing this place as like to be such a privilege to work here, plus me not thinking I'd actually get in, and then getting in. It was such a difficult year, mostly because, in terms of that, but in terms of that, because every single day, I kid you not, I was there for a year, every single day, I felt palpable fear that that would be the day that they would come and say, we made a mistake, you're not who we meant to pick. Sometimes I'd actually have palpitations. So it would get to a point where, going to work, I'd feel so much dread, or like when I finally settle into doing like whatever work that I'm given, I'm afraid to finish, because if I finish, it means a new challenge is coming my way, and that challenge would be the one that they will use to expose me, because I'll not know something about it, or it will be beyond my scope, and already I don't think that I had much of a scope anyway, like very minute. So just anything outside of 1+1, they've caught me.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And it was so real. I could taste the fear. Like, man, I felt like a literal imposter. Like, I was holding myself. And another factor was that I've been in law school so long, and law school had been difficult for me. So again, that coupled with me already not thinking highly of myself in anything. And I used to do really well in school back then, but law school really just shattered whatever, like, you know, I had left about myself. So it was just a lot of things combined. And I think my faith at that time was shaky as well. I didn't relate, like, any mental health issues I had at the time to faith. For me, in my head, they were separate. It's just, I know God, I love God. I'm going through all of these different, because I was going through a lot of different things at the time. I just never fully connected. It's just in my mind, it was my reality. I'm not good enough. I'm not who they think I am. And they will find out sooner or later. So that was my experience with it. So at a point, I think later in 2022, like mid getting to the end, I realized that the only way out at the time was to really just say my verses. Honestly, because I would cry every day. Sometimes break time, I'm in the washroom crying. God, please. God, don't let them find out. So it wasn't even so much, I know I'm good enough. God, let me feel good enough. It was, I genuinely believe that I wasn't it. And so my crying was fear that, God, please, if you let them catch me, I'm almost there. Please, just, like, I'm almost at the finish line. Help me to get out without them seeing that they made a mistake. Literally, every time my boss would call me, this is it. Even when at a point, and I think in the beginning it was showing in my work. I mean, eventually I kind of settled in, but I don't think the fear ever fully left. And even when I started to be a little more confident, it didn't speak much to me not being an imposter, because like I said, I had received that truth. So it wasn't really, you're not an imposter, you just need to settle. It was like, I'm an imposter. How do we navigate this without them finding out? So at a point, it was just, I just had to, I can't be crying all the time. Something has to give. Like, how do I, because the fear was affecting my work, was affecting my everything. And like I said, I was going through other things as well. So I started like taking my faith a lot more seriously. And that was really my only respite at the time. I mean, one or two people I was honest with about how I felt, but I don't think I fully spoke to anybody about it. So it's really just me and God crying. Then I'll say my verses. I remember there was a verse. I remember I went to midweek service someday. I can't remember the verse. I think it's Isaiah 40. Yes, and then also 1 Peter 2 and 9. You're a holy... Yeah, royal priesthood, the holy name. Basically, I was just saying whatever. Like, I would write them on my desk. I would affirm myself every morning. I'm not big enough, but God can do it. So that was me reminding myself, God, do it. God, do it. God, do it. That's how I got to the end. But obviously, a year has passed, and I've learned so much since then. Okay.
I have questions.
Ish. Okay.
So it's going to be like an interviewee type thing, because I don't think I have that much experience with imposter syndrome. I can relate to the point where you don't feel good enough, because I've had that inferiority complex for a very long time, where I don't ever think that anybody will call me first for anything, because I don't think I know anything. And so you catch me saying things like, oh, you know, English is not my first time. But, you know, I feel like that also is like a cover, because then you can improve.
It's like a caveat, like, Just in case you catch me not speaking good English, I said it first.
Yes, but you can improve, because it's a language. You can learn, you can read books and stuff like that. The fact that you don't know doesn't mean you should rest in the place of not knowing. But I also think that if you have the mentality of, okay, then let me fake it till I make it, to the point where you are learning so much just so that you can fit in, can also be a problem. But as you were talking, there are lots of things that I was hearing. It's like a lack of confidence and self-identity. It's like, do I know who I am? Do I know even why God brought me here? Like, everybody seems better than me. So, like, how am I supposed to, like, navigate this when everybody seems better or smarter or, you know, the one that's called first all the time? And it's also not necessarily understanding the full purpose, like your purpose, because then if I know why I'm there, then I know how to adjust myself to do the thing. So I want to know, as you were going through all of that, was there any point where No, that's not the question I want to ask. The question I want to ask, the first question I want to ask is, do you see that in you trying to be, like, fit in or not be found out, do you see yourself overworking? Like, were you overworking yourself to try and make sure that, like, you're covering up? You know when somebody comes to tell a lie and then you want to protect that lie, they do everything and anything to cover up that specific lie. So do you feel like you were overworking, you were doing too much, like, if they call anybody, you'll be the one there because you don't want them to say about you, why aren't you, like, performing? Or is it the opposite, where you rather hiding?
Exactly. On the contrary, because me stepping up to the plate would suggest that I had something to bring to the plate. I was trying to be my corner as much as possible. One thing I really appreciate about the place is how you have equal opportunity. It wasn't, oh, you just came, oh, you're a junior, you can't work on it. You're exposed to any and everything. And I'm always saying that as far as the learning experience goes, best time, best choice. I'm so thankful because, I mean, what's the saying, 2020 is always hindsight or whatever it is, but, like, how else would I have learned if I hadn't gone through it?
Right.
But in answer to your question, on the contrary, because in my mind, the more you can see me, like, and it was literal as well, I wasn't trying to be all over the place. I was so content with being in my corner as much as possible. It was only because of, like, one or two people who made me feel comfortable that I even started to be myself, because before my head was down, come do my work, go home, set the boundaries. It was even, like, a little later on that I had the best office mates in the beginning. He made me feel, like, really comfortable. He was constantly reminding me that I'm human and we are all really just winging it. So that made me, like, settle in a little. But apart from that, literally and work-wise, I've been assigned work. I wonder why they would assign the work to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I have no way out of it. Find a way to do the work. Be paralyzed by fear for the first 90% of the time, finally get around to doing the work, not thinking it's good enough, but I have to submit it anyway, praying no more work comes my way. And it was such a battle because God knows my heart. God knows, like, I love to do it. Like, when I finally get into it, I love, like, doing work. When I finally figured it out, like, putting two and two together, actually producing something that's good enough, love it. But the journey to get there, by the time you get there, you're so exhausted and it's so harrowing that you hope that it's the last time. And then cycle repeats itself. So I didn't find myself, I wouldn't offer myself up first for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I'm saying, I guess somewhere along the line, it got a bit better. I wasn't as timid as before because, like I said, I had some of the best office mates who would constantly encourage me. I don't want to name drop, but they know themselves, would constantly encourage me, like, girl, like, you're doing the damn, like, and sometimes people would actually commend my work and I'd be like, you don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever accepted a single compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But I got, like, a few, you know. But, like, to me, in my mind, like I was saying, it was a mind thing and it was a heart thing. There's nothing you could say to me that would convince me that, like, I would be good enough to be the one to offer myself to do the work or to overwork. Because already I'm afraid you find mistakes in my work. Oh,
then
I'm doing extra work for you. It's like, am I trying to get sacked? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really me just hiding myself, keeping my head down, trying to make it to the end of the year.
But in all of that, did you see God come through for you? Like, were there things that God, apart from you speaking things about yourself, was there something that God said to you during that season where you were, like, you were able to identify and then step on that and then get out of that place of, like, constantly doubting yourself and not being able to?
I don't think it had to do specifically with work. I think it just had to do with generally my faith. Like I said, when around the time I started doing it was a year's thing. Around the time when I started was around the time that the whatever I was going through also started.
Mm.
It was a different attacks left, right, you name. I don't want to, let's not get into it, but you guys know the typical ones. I was going through it. And I was going through it alone for a bit until, like, I opened up to someone else and then eventually, like, other people. But for the longest time, every 5 minutes be at tears in him. It was crazy, man. We should actually do an, I know we've done an episode, mental health is fine, but who Ooh, you know? And then at a point, like, I was just so tired of crying all the time, of being in so much pain all the time, of being afraid all the... I was miserable. And then I remember the time where I used to feel at peace, relevant, because me and God, we used to be homies, we're best friends in uni. If you know me, you know that that was my guy. Like, it's like, oh, maybe that's what's missing. Like, let me try. As far as intimacy with him in my personal life was concerned, I didn't think I had that, but I could start in my mind, I can start by going to fellowship. Even though I don't feel worthy, at least I'm surrounded by it. It's better than being at home crying. So I wouldn't say that at the time I heard God say anything. I think I would remind myself, because I prayed about it. As with everything, you know me, that like I always want to be sure that I'm doing what God wants me to be. So I prayed about it, and I figured, well, if I got to, God wants me to be there. And I, like, as often as I would remember, I would pray that, God, there's a reason I'm here. Show me what the reason is. I wouldn't say that I got like a specific, you are here to do this. Mm-hmm. Like every day I got the opportunity, I would try to impact people in a little way. I would try to do my best. I would pray, say a prayer for somebody. But I don't think that I got like a specific, you are here to change the face of this department, or you are here to save this person's life. No. So I don't think there's anything God said to me specifically concerning work. It was just in my outside. When I say outside, I mean generally my faith. He was literally the rock I was clinging to. So things that I would hear in church, then I'd hold on. Something has to give. So like maybe I'd hear something in church, and because I was now trying to get back to that place, I'd just hold on to it. Even if I didn't believe it in my heart yet, I'd hold on to what he was saying. God said he's doing a new thing. Around that time, that's what I behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not see? You are set apart. You are... I'm trying to remember the one verse it was, but basically whatever it was, I would take whatever it is I was getting from fellowship at the time and then hold on to it. And that's what I'd be trying to apply in work life. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
I think I feel like I said before, inferiority complex and everything. So I think I've told you before that I used to say that a certain kind of man intimidates me, and I feel like if I continue,
which had me shook, guys. But let's not get into that, because I can be here thinking, I saw some picture. Sorry to interrupt. I saw some picture of Naya 2 days ago. My head was aching. Ask her. I sent her that picture. I said, "Hey, full stop." Because hey, I'm not her mate too. But sometimes she passes on, and I noticed that. I remember sometime I called you out on it.
Yeah.
That she passes certain comments. You let me know off your pants here.
Yeah. So I feel like I could be on that tangent if I continue with the mindset, because I feel like from everything that you've said, it's a heart posture, it's a mindset, it's perspective as well, it's the knowledge that you have, that you believe as well. So if God says something about you, do you believe that thing that God has said? Because then until you believe, it's just knowledge that you have, it's just something that you know, information that you have, which is not really anything to work on. I mean, you can build on that knowledge, you can build on that information, but if you don't believe it...
No, I think, let me clarify that we've learned that knowledge, you receive knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you imbibe knowledge,
mm-hmm.
so up until that point, it's just information you've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that if you have the knowledge, I can know that something is good. If I don't encounter that thing, I just know by somebody telling me, or you know, by hearing it or something, that is good.
But you don't know it.
I don't know it intimately. I don't know it perfectly. That's why God, the last day, Jesus will say that, "Get away from me, because I did not know you." It's not because he did not know you. Obviously, God knows everyone, but it's like, I didn't know you. A koinonia, a fellowship, intimacy. I didn't know you on that level.
She said koinonia.
Yeah, so I feel like for me, God has said so many things. I think even for me, when people come and give me prophecies about, like, God says you are this and you are that, I'm like, hey.
Did you get the wrong address?
Like, I used to mean well, because this, like I was saying, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I feel like that mindset is very dangerous, because I feel like there was a time God called me out. There's a specific area in light of being vulnerable and open, marriage was a thing that was marriage was a thing that really gave me anxiety, because I'd heard so many stories of people say that God will leave you, you know, at first I didn't like the person, but because God said this is the person, so this is what it is. So it gave me a lot of anxiety in that area. So I used to think that God would give me just anybody, or like it's somebody that I deserve, because I don't deserve the finer things in life. I deserve like somebody who, like, I always have to speak in tongues before I look at their face. So I used to really think that, and I had major anxiety in that area, because I used to think that, yeah, that's what God would do. And if perhaps by the chance God gives me somebody who actually is,
if it's all your life, so then we thank God.
But then I feel like I will feel like I have to do things to match up the person, because I don't feel like within myself I'm able to do whatever the person is doing, so I have to do things to match up. And then I feel like that will make me an imposter in that way, if I continue on that tangent, if I continue.
So you have encountered imposter syndrome.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, that if I continue with that mindset, I may end up in a relationship where I have to keep doing things to make me feel like I deserve the person. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I want to say, I mean, I don't know if you're about to ask another question, but I don't want to forget. Like I was saying, it's been a year since the end of that. I mean, that period. And I'm not perfect, but I am a lot more enlightened. I don't know if I'm placed in another such situation that will come up, but I hope not, because I'm actively trying to grow and work through that. And some of the things, like you mentioned, it's really a knowledge gap, is what it is. Knowledge is, you see, the Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. It's because we don't know. We've heard, we believe sometimes, but we don't have an intimate knowing in our spirits. Because if you knew who you were, and it's also pride, it's another thing that I did a bunch of like reminders. One of them was, I forget now, my memory is so bad, but basically that self-pity is pride, like those things.
It's false humility.
Yeah, it's pride, because you being afraid of being found out or not being good enough suggests that it is by your power or skills that you are there.
That's what God told me, to be very honest. He told me that the fact that I would put someone's ability to provide or resources above his purpose is insulting to him, because if he thinks that he puts me together with somebody with resources just because the person has resources, then I think very little of his purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one way it can present. But just generally, and mind you, we're speaking as Christians here. That year, again, even though it's a really difficult year, I'm so thankful for it, because if before, law school generally, if I thought I was a spice before, law school broke me beyond like, if I was even trying, already I told you from before, like when I was much, much younger, I never really thought I was a spice. I would just happen to be doing well in school. If there was, I'm sure God anticipated that he's about to put me in a place where the fans would be plenty. And it's possible that the fans will get into my head, so let him even perish the thought before it's even tried, because there was not a thought in my mind that he was trying to remove you. So I said, no, this one is, it must be a future thought that he's addressing. Because if before there's anything at all that would have made me even conceive the thought that it is me, it is my beauty, it is my resources or lack thereof, it is, I have no doubt in my mind.
That's not you.
It cannot be me.
Yeah.
It can't. It can't be me. Which brings you to a place of surrender and full reliance on God. I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I have nothing. And as often as I remember throughout the day, Adoma, you are nothing. And it's not from a place of derogation. It is the truth. I am nobody. I am because he is. I'm always saying, if you see me today, sometimes I get compliments on my beauty. Shocks me every time. Like, I'm someone's spec, apparently. And I mean, sometimes I look at them and I'm like, oh, you're kind of cute. But like, sometimes I've had people, and this isn't me, like, you know, but like, just generally, in terms of people think I'm so smart, people think that, like, I have money, people think that, oh, guys, This is not even false humility. I need you to understand.
Short interlude, guys. We are so sorry. Say 30 minutes.
Man. No, no. Interlude. Can we get into it? Because I feel like...
Let me tell you. I'm sure somebody is at this point like, guys, 30 minutes.
No, but they're getting into it. Okay, wow. Okay. Almost done. I just really felt the need to emphasize that it is pride to a certain extent, because if it is God who has gotten you through the door, can't you trust that he's the one who holds you up?
Yeah.
That's one. I mean, all of this is something I've learned in hindsight. That's number one. Number two, fear is not from God. Absolutely. So automatically the source is the devil is trying to throw you off track, because he says he's not giving us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. Doesn't mean you wake up one day and confidence will come. No, but that knowing that, it means anytime you feel that feeling, automatically, it's not from God.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I have learned that we are all just winging it on a surface level, whether you're a Christian or not. You think that somebody's up there, someone is so smart, and we're all just winging it. And if you want to be better, you have to do the work to get better. That's another thing that has liberated me. Okay, you think you're not good enough to be in the door. Do the work. You think you're not a good enough lawyer. Read your law books. Read the cases. Do what you have to do. Practice. Do, and the more you do, so it goes hand in hand for me. It's faith and work. It's what I've learned. First faith of all, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because first of all, again, and I speak as a Christian, because first of all, you have to have faith. First of all, having the knowledge and understanding that you are because God is. God has gotten you through the door.
But the foundation, the faith is built on something, right? Just before Adema continues, I just want to say that faith is, because if you're not speaking faith in a vacuum, we're talking, you know the word. So get in the word. What is God saying about you? What is God saying about where you are? What is God saying? So
prayer,
Bible, read, spend time with God. That's where you build your faith from, because faith comes by hearing
by the word of God. Exactly. And faith is something that I struggle with personally, in terms of faith. I use faith to refer to my relationship with God, but the actual having faith and trusting in God is something that I struggle with a lot. I don't believe what God has said about me. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told him as much. I cannot be the one you sent your son to die for. I mean, look at me. What a waste of resources. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't believe, when you hear those great things like I'll be this and I'm that, you don't, you, what? Wrong number, you know? And I've told him as much, but it's something I'm working on, because again, if he has said that this is what I see in you.
Yeah.
And so it's an identity issue.
Mm-hmm.
Once I discover who I am in God, and then I actually believe in it. Who are you? And I've been at that point before, when I discovered that that's the genesis of why I even got this ring. When it was like someone had turned on the lights in my head. I was reading a verse. And I discovered that I am. He says you are seated in heaven.
In Christ.
We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. I was like, what? I'm a royal. Oh, everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
How I carried myself changed. How I talk changed. How I allow people to talk to me changed. Because in me, like to me, I was a queen,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it really changed everything. But somewhere along the line, I lost it. But it really is an identity issue. And it's having faith in, so you find out who you are in Christ, then you actually start to believe who you are in Christ. And I want to say that it's not the reason why I lost this is because at the time I thought once you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, it can't, we are living sacrifice, we can crawl over the altar. Today I may know that I'm a royal, tomorrow I can easily forget. So it's a cost, that's why the Bible asks us to renew our minds daily. Every day, if God has said you are a co-heir with Christ Jesus, every day you sit with that knowledge, every day you interact with that knowledge. Otherwise, somewhere along the line, if you be careful, you stand lest you fall. You think that okay, you're this, and the next you know, you've forgotten that you're acting else. I've been acting like, can you imagine? It's my father's house I'm living in, and I've been acting like I'm the house help that they invited to come and sweep. It sounds ridiculous to you. But that's what we are doing every day and every time, because we've been called to have dominion, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are getting to the, but generally, as Christians, we've been called to rule. And so it is actually, if God has sent us somewhere, we have been sent there to make impact. And the whole time you are whimpering, afraid, when you have the upper hand, guys. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so on the other side, it's a faith thing, it's an identity thing. But on the other side as well, like I was saying, once you've locked that, down parts, you still have to do the work, because guess what? God will do the work for you.
Yeah.
Even if you have faith, you know that you're royal, you know that you're called to have, you're a priest and a king and all those cool things, you know, like, you know, I've given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, so your boss, the serpent and scorpion. Okay, you've exercised the authority in the spirit. How will it manifest physically?
Yeah.
If you don't come to work early, if you're not starting your work on time, if your turnaround time is... My turnaround time was horrible. Because how the, it was actual paralysis.
Mm.
Like, the first 90% of the time that I get the work, oh my God, I'm not good enough. Oh my God, they're about to catch me. Oh my... Paralyzed, though. Like, I would literally open the document. I can't do the work. And then, it's a day to time. And then, now, all of a sudden, everything... The door has opened. I know exactly where to look at it. But by then, I'm stressed because I have so much, so little time left. And it was affecting my work. Mm. And nobody's about to say that, oh, we know you have imposter syndrome. So I had the potential.
Yeah.
But I was gripped by fear, and fear paralyzed me. And I don't know today. And I'm thankful that I got to be there and learn what I learned. But who knows, like, how my experience could have been maximized. And that's really all I wanted to say. Like, sharing, like, my knowledge in hindsight. Because if I knew then what I know now, I don't think I would have had such as miserable a time. Because you know you can smell fear on people. If I can't, and if you're, I don't say bad person per se, but it's easy to manipulate others when you can tell. Like, it's either of two things. If I can tell that you don't think you'd be good enough for this guy, it's either of two things. Either I'm affirming you or I'm validating the fear.
Mm.
So it's either I'm constantly saying, of course, look at you. Look at your beauty. Look at who God is. Or I'm taking advantage of it, maybe even subconsciously. Maybe it's not intentional that I'm doing it, but it's like I'm, by the comments I pass, that, hey, you and I ask, hey, where will you get? You say your man will be tall and fair. Hey, where will you meet him? You that you don't go anywhere. Hey, you that your English is... You see what I'm saying?
Which is things that people do.
All the time.
People do that. And I think something that I've also learned is, we're not talking about offense specifically, but I know the offense is put on people. Sometimes you may not accept the offense, but it's put on you by the things that people say, the comments that people make. So it's the same thing with identity crisis. Somebody is struggling with their identity, they may project that on you. And if you are on shaky grounds, you may accept that and then take it and then run with it. And then now you have to deal with something that somebody else was dealing with. So I think that it's... We talk about faith being a place and faith being a language and faith being a lifestyle as well. But also make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are speaking the mind of God over you.
Yes.
And not people who are telling you, you come and tell them that, oh, you know, I'm struggling with this. And they're like, yeah, Charlie, how will you get
out of it? Charlie, you are shaking somebody's table. God.
So you definitely have to find people that will lead you to Christ. We're not saying people that would, you know, you're going through it, and then they'll drill the hole for you to,
because it's enter. Easy, like you're saying, it's projection.
Yeah.
Me, if I was confident in myself, if I was secure, if I knew that I didn't have to struggle with you for a seat at the table, I wouldn't be undermining you or validating your fear. I'm in my lane. Whether I actually want you to do well so we can both do well, this is what I mean. But the minute I sense that fear, if I start to play, it's a natural thing that we tend to do too. It's sometimes even emotional manipulation. Sometimes you're upset. This is an abstract example, but you're I'm obsessed with you, and you did something seriously to offend me, and you are trying to win my trust back. And I know that, so it gives me like a sense of power, and I lord it over you. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, even so that even, yes, surround yourself with people who speak God's word over you, but you also need to have that affirmation in your spirit.
Yeah, not so just that's when that, you need to be in that place.
Exactly,
you know,
be in that place. So that, yeah, when someone comes, because sometimes people don't even realize they're doing it, but when someone comes and subconsciously takes advantage, because it gives me a sense of power, yeah, knowing that you don't think you're good enough. You're not my competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it adds to like me feeling like I'm better than, yeah, you, right? So that when someone even comes to do that,
you can
shake it off, because, yeah, what right do you even have to be offended when someone does that to you, when you're treating yourself the same way?
Mm, right.
You're saying the same things over yourself. You're carrying yourself the same way. Why are you now offended that I'm doing that to you?
Right.
You believe it. And I've seen that you believe it. So I'm treating you how you have told me you want to be treated.
I think a simple analogy that we can use before we end, because
yeah,
we're well over our time. let's see every emotion, every experience as a place. If it's a place you don't want to go to, don't accept it. There are things that people say about you. I'll use an example. There was a time somebody entered my shop and the person was like, oh, lock your doors because I saw some guys on a motor looking in your shop. But that's his fear that he has come to communicate. Me accepting that fear will look like me actually locking the doors because the man said...
I don't understand. But
in my spirit, I knew that there was nothing to be afraid of. But the man came to say something because he's afraid for me, because he says the world has become a dangerous place, and so when you're in your shop as a woman alone, lock your shop. I understand where he's coming from. I understand the fear. It's a rational fear. You see two guys on the motor looking in a shop. Maybe they are coming to rob you. Maybe they are coming to do something. You never know. But it is the witness in my spirit that said that this is his fear.
Oh, so it's a specific example where you're saying that in that instance, you knew that...
Yes, so that's what I'm saying.
He was projecting and that you knew that you were safe.
Let's see emotions and feelings and whatnot as places. Are you willing to enter that place? So if somebody presents something to you, are you willing to enter into that space of the person? So if somebody's talking about anxiety and pushing their anxiety on you, are you willing to enter into that space?
But what if it's not someone who's presenting to you? What if it's a place you're at?
No, I'm just talking about when you're
that's in, with, yes, and when with, you're other people, with other people, right? So people trying to project onto you and bring you to a
because it's different place. If you are already in that place. That one you're trying to get out of that place. But I'm talking about when you are in the midst of people, even in church.
Who are trying to...
Especially in church. Mm. Somebody can say something. Mm. You think the person is very, you know... Christ focus and what's not, the person may say something, but then the person is just saying something from their left armpit. It's not really what God is saying. So you have to have that witness in your spirit. So I think that even the foundation of even discovering that this is imposter syndrome, this is something that the enemy is throwing at me.
Yeah.
The start of it is I need to grow my spirit. I need to know the word of God. I need to know what God is saying about me. God is saying about the place. God is saying about the purpose of me being in that place.
Which
and being able to even trust. Because I realize that trust is a...
It's big, a key, yes. It's a big imposter syndrome, if you're unpacking it from God's perspective, I think it's a faith issue, an identity issue, a trust issue. And the last thing to close is it's a purpose issue as well. Because is this somewhere you're called to be?
Yeah.
And that's a whole other... Purpose is a whole other thing to unpack, but... Don't try not to go ahead of God. I'm not saying that if you go to a place where God hasn't sent you, then he'll bring you fear to punish you. No. But there's even some confidence that comes from knowing that it's God who has placed me here.
He gets back in.
Exactly. Like, if I sense myself, then maybe some of the fear is rational.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing it's one of the things that boosts you, knowing that I didn't send myself I'm literally here. God directed me. Yeah. I'm in this job, or I'm in this marriage, or I'm in this school. I believe by divine providence. God will carry you wherever you are.
Yeah.
Because God is merciful. I'm just saying there's extra confidence in knowing that this is where God has sent me.
Yeah.
And just believing that you are enough. And everybody's winging it.
I think an example would be Jeremiah. When God asked him, told him all these plenty things.
Moses,
and then God, Gideon. and then Jeremiah said, but I'm only a youth. And then God said,
Moses said, I'm only a stammerer.
Yeah, and then God said,
David was a shepherd boy.
I mean, if you look through the Bible, you find so many people who could say that, oh, I'm only this, and
even
Jesus'
disciples. I'm watching Chosen now, and every day they are shocked that us, you chose
but
us.
But then there's a certain realization that I am not enough by myself, but God is enough, because Isaiah is the same prophet who was saying, woe to you, woe to you. Then when he finally got into the presence of God, he said, woe to me, because I am a man of unclean lips. Because you're suddenly aware of all the flaws that you have, your limitations, everything that you are not able to do. So to the point, if you think you have to do certain things to fit in, then you really are relying on your own strength.
Yeah,
because the Bible does say that when in the days of trouble, when your strength fails, then it means that your strength was small, or your strength was weak. It means you were relying on your own strength. But if you would rest on God, I think you may be afraid for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where you're like, God is actually, because this is something that God told me. God told me that the responsibilities that he has given me, or he will give me in the future, if I will continue to, so how he explained this is like, he's like a shelter, and I'm hiding in the shelter. Once I step out of the shelter, I will feel the weight of the responsibility. That's what he told me. Which means that at every point, I have to make sure that I'm in the house, which is God. I'm resting in him. So whether that's through prayer, obedience.
You feel physically tired and overwhelmed, but there's a place to operate from.
There is a certain weight of the responsibility that if I allowed you to carry, you may crash.
You'll be, you may. She said me, guys. Look, your God's strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah.
When you are weak, that's when you are strong. Just find all those verses, speak them over yourself, and remind yourself that God is carrying you. It is impossible for you to fail. Even if when, like, humanly, it looks like you will fail or you are failing, just resting in that knowledge that you are, because God is and he's carrying you, that's a good start. And that's really all I have to say.
Yeah. All right, guys. This is an episode that I actually thought I didn't have much to say.
So I knew when she was in my DMs about me, I don't mean to say it. I was like, bruh.
But yeah, I'm very glad we had this conversation. Yeah, I think it will be liberating for a lot of people. And I really hope that every single person who needs to hear this will hear this in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to just speak life over every single person who feels afraid, anxious, or they don't feel like they're good enough, or they don't feel like they're in the right place, or God sees them and so they're hiding.
Mm.
We just want you to know that God sees you. God loves you. God will direct your path if you will allow him to direct your path.
Amen.
So you can just get in prayer, get in worship, praise, and just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you.
And reach out to us if you feel the need to.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to be vulnerable with your friends. People that you trust, please. People that you trust.
No.
It's okay. Please.
Turn on your mic.
Please.
Loud it. Can you say that? Don't be afraid to be what? Amanda, are you hearing this? No, because Amanda has been on your case about you being vulnerable, right?
No, Amanda just wants me to say I love you to her.
Which is a symbol of,
and it's not everybody who can say it. Somebody can show it to you without saying it. And I showed it to her so many times.
Oh, okay. So do you love me?
Sure.
Oh, guys. Today, everybody has seen what I already know to be true. Sad day.
Guys, until next time.
Bye.